Hi, welcome to Sonic Serial. I'm Jesse.
And I'm Mark, and in this podcast we take a deep dive into albums from some of our favorite artists, track by track.
That's right, and today we're continuing with Radiohead's Kid A, which was released in October 2nd, 2000. And you can classify it under experimental rock, art rock, and electronica.
And it was on Parlophone and Capitol Records.
Yeah. And I'll tell you about the album's theme and concept. It's existential dread and the unsettling transition into the digital age.
It's a mouthful.
Yeah. Okay, well, today we're doing... We're doing the song How to Disappear Completely. Oh my gosh. Tree Fingers.
Optimistic and in limbo.
Yeah.
Okay, let's start with your new segment, Missed Opportunities.
Yeah, well, I forgot to tell you that we went to a... it's called a candlelight tribute where they have strings that play Radiohead songs. And they did everything in its right place, and we saw it in Seattle, and it was a good show.
Yeah, and that was a really good... that song lends itself really well to strings.
Yeah. Now I want to tell you what this album booklet is wild.
Okay.
See, look. This material.
Let me see.
And then it's got one of these.
Oh, it's like vellum paper.
Yeah. So it's like a art student's like portfolio, like thesis thing. It's like quite the booklet. I gotta tell you.
It's not as salacious as you made it sound.
Sorry.
Also, rumor has it the album was dedicated to Leo Blair, who's...
That's the son of Tony Blair. He was born in May 20th, 2000. So he's 25 years old, the same age as this album. Thank you.
Okay, let's start with track 4, How to Disappear Completely. That's not me.
Do you ever feel like you just want to disappear? Call this number.
I feel like you were having feelings of alienation and longing to escape from your overwhelming realities today.
I knew you were going to talk about that.
Yeah, see, it wasn't that bad. But isn't the day better now?
Yeah, thanks for bringing it up. Now it make me mad again.
Okay. Also, I wrote a haiku for you.
Tell me.
It goes, whispers on the wind, chaos fades to calm embrace. Stillness claims the void.
I guess.
What's your first impression of this song?
I'd say sometimes it's my favorite song off the album, and I've had many a good cry to this one.
When was the last time you cried to this?
I don't want to talk about it. So...
Okay.
It just makes you feel like you're floating in space and hearing the cries of ghosts. I float down the lift. And How to Disappear Completely was written in mid-1997 during the OK Computer tour. The title is based on the 1985 book by Doug Richman called How to Disappear Completely and Never Be Found, which is a book on how to start a new identity.
And the song was inspired by a gig the band had in 1997 in Dublin, Ireland, where the weather was windy and it was rainy that night.
Yeah.
There's a lot of songs inspired by the weather.
Yeah. So, yeah. The weather.
It's such a banal thing.
But it's such a powerful thing. It's
inspirational.
That's how you, Kelly Clarkson.
And it was also inspired by, where else did they perform?
Dublin?
Glastonbury. Where they had a lot of technical issues.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they had some... Yeah, Thomas, like... he was close to walking off stage.
Is that because he had had a dream the night before about running naked in Dublin's River Liffey?
Liffey.
Liffey.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why.
And while they were recording the album, there was a rumor circulating online that they would record the song with Godspeed, You Old Black Emperor.
Yeah.
Like, that was the information being traded on the streets.
Well, you know what? Tom York said that Talking Heads' Once in a Lifetime influenced this song. And I can kind of see that.
I can see that. Speaking of influences...
Wait, but... How? I don't know.
Listen, we heard the song, the Talking Heads song.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll get back. We'll take that offline.
Thank you.
But speaking of inspiration, let's talk about production.
It starts with an ominous chord, string chord, and then an acoustic strum comes in, followed by Colin's bass with some wailing guitar from Ed O'Brien.
And then Tom's vocals kind of finally come in, and then we get Phil's reverberating drums with swelling cinematic strings, accompanied by Johnny's
on de maintenant,
which we just learned tonight that he developed because he really couldn't play guitar on this album, so he wanted to make himself useful.
Yeah.
It's cool. And Johnny Greenwood, it took him 2 weeks to write the lyrics. The strings, sorry.
Yeah, I think I was going to say, if you ever feel that you're replaceable, just learn a new skill. Because that's what he's doing right here, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, but not irreplaceable. Like, if you are replaceable.
Yeah. Okay. So, the strings you were talking about, it was performed by the Orchestra of St. John's, and it was conducted by John Lubbock at a church in Oxfordshire called Dorchester Abbey, and it took 3 hours to record.
That's fast.
Yeah.
And Johnny Greenwood created the song's eerie string arrangement, which is influenced by the avant-garde works of Polish composer Krzysztof Penderecki.
Yeah. And he was, inspired by Penderecki's use of unconventional texture and dissonance. And also Oliver Mazayan.
Who's Oliver Mazayan?
Olivier Messiaen.
Who is that?
He's a classical composer.
Okay.
And he played the On de Matinu. And, you know, I just don't know. He's a great guy.
Let's see. Let's talk about the lyrics now.
Yeah. My favorite lyric is strobe lights and blowing speakers, fireworks and hurricanes. It really conveys all the chaos a popular recording artist on the road might feel. It's a true whirlwind. Why?
And then as far as the meaning, Tom mentioned that the lyrics were inspired by his experiences of extreme anxiety and disconnection while he was touring.
Yeah.
And the phrase, "I'm not here, this isn't happening," which is repeated in the song, came from advice that was given to him by...
R.E.M. Michael Stipe.
Yeah.
And,
why did he give it to him?
It was to help him cope with the pressures of fame and performance by imagining he's not there when it all becomes too much to bear. Kind of like disassociating.
Yeah.
Or dissociating. But you said that Michael Stipe, you saw Michael Stipe once.
I did. At the Stud in San Francisco.
What did he tell you? I thought it was at Tranny Shack.
Tranny Shack, but yeah. I think it's in the building of the Stud.
Hmm.
The Tranny Shack was like a night.
Yeah. Sorry.
Nothing. He asked me if I wanted to have a cigarette with him.
Oh, that was it?
Yeah.
Just a cigarette?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I mean, there's a lot of innuendo, and he put his hand on my pants, but...
Okay.
And then, but he was very sweet.
And you said no.
No, I just... I don't know. We don't gotta go there.
Okay.
Someone's blowing up your phone.
And then Michael Stipe, he wrote a song called Disappear from R.E.M.'s 2001 album, Reveal, and called Tom to apologize for stealing it. And then Tom was like, "It was in you the whole time. Namaste."
Speaking of visuals, if this was a music video, what do you think it'd look like?
I think it would be like floating up, like a bird's eye view, like you're floating up and flying over the city. I don't know.
Hmm.
What would you?
I got it. I think it's more like that kite that we try to build at the beach.
Oh yeah.
And we just couldn't get it to fly.
That was a good one, because it's just a letdown.
Yeah.
So sad.
There's like windy, it's beautiful, the sun's setting, there's like people flying kites everywhere, and we're just like...
Two homos on the beach, like, running around. What's happening? How do you get this up? Well, the cultural impact of this song was that the band first performed it in April 1998 at the Universal Amphitheater in Universal City.
Okay.
Anyway, my favorite performance of this song is from 2001 when Johnny and Tom performed this on Canal Plus, or Canal Plus, with an André Martineau 6-3.
Wait, 6-3? Is that like a separate instrument? Or is that like André Martineau's like last name?
No, it's a group of people that play the Ponte Martino.
Man, I want to have a kid just to name him that. On this Martinot Sextoir.
Tom York performed this in Kyoto last November.
And it's been in many fan-made videos and montages, and it's been used in like film as a anthem of detachment.
I was listening to this while we were in Colorado, just looking at the mountains. It was majestic.
Well, thanks for your review. One critic said, "Sometimes you just have to play this song and have a good cry."
That's what I'm saying.
And what did the reviewer from NME say?
When I'm feeling alone in this world, this song makes me feel comforted by the corners of my own walls. Sure. It's therapeutic. I don't know.
And someone from the Hilltopper said it's a... What? It's a stunning and destroying masterpiece.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad to see there's no negative reviews.
I couldn't find any. I mean, other than like someone's like, this song's 75 and best songs, it should be at least a 90. Yeah.
It's like... Okay. Give me a joke about this song.
I tried to learn how to disappear completely, but now I can't find my instructor. How about you?
Why did the magician's partner disappear after their date?
Why?
Turns out the magic wand didn't work. Okay.
Is there any trivia about this song?
This song was in the 2001 film Life of the House and the TV show Roswell.
Did you see either of those?
I think I saw some of Life as a House. Hmm.
Is it about a really heavy person?
No, that's the whale. Okay. The song was initially called Canned Applause during its development, a title reflecting its unfinished and experimental state before becoming the fully realized track on Kid A.
I like Canned Applause.
Yeah. I think I like How to Disappear Completely.
Yeah, but Canned Applause is a concept. Like, it's supposed to be all this, like, people being authentic, you know, like, applauding
at something. Well, the song was covered by Anne Brun.
I was getting somewhere with that. Okay.
And there's also a shoegaze cover by Weird Fish.
And then there's actually an OJC remix of Anne Brun's cover.
Okay.
And then take a listen, actually. It's good. Then there's the 8-bit remix by Grimes and the Amniac remix. And there's an ambient remix. Oh.
I like ambient music.
Let's play it. Let's play that. See? Just like you wanted.
Well, I have to tell you about some listener comments.
Okay.
So from Reddit, a user on reflected, the way the strings swell makes me feel like I could want this playing if I ever decide to commit suicide.
Nice.
Well, there's a site called If You Want to Talk About It. It's called What You... You want to talk about it? .com. Yeah.
Okay. What about another reviewer?
Someone else on Reddit said this track got me through an abusive relationship. It inspired me to escape. That's good.
They're doing good deeds in the world with their music. What do you think about this cocktail and pairing?
Vodka soda and a cigarette. Nice. No, that sounds like something I've done. No, not a cigarette, but I don't know.
The vibe of vodka soda and a cigarette. It's like simple, minimal, James Dean.
So when you see someone outside a bar drinking a vodka soda and smoking a cigarette, you know they're listening to this song in their head.
Let's hope so. Yeah. Let's hope the world is that nice.
Merry Christmas, y'all.
What's your first impression of this song?
What song?
Drek 5.
Tree Fingers. It's like a magical cave, dark but mystically beautiful. It's an instrumental ambient piece that feels like a halfway point to crossing over to a darker side of the album, like an intermission.
Yeah. And Ed O'Brien once said that it was similar to a song called These Themes 3 by Avril Carr. Can we hear that?
It's just so dreamy.
Okay, that was amazing. Let's talk about production. So the origin of Tree Fingers began as a guitar recording by Ed O'Brien, and the original recording was later heavily manipulated and processed in the studio, turning it into an ambient soundscape. And the final version bears little resemblance to the traditional guitar performances of theirs.
Yeah. And then Tom recorded Ed playing chords for 10 minutes, and he ran it through a sampler, and he made some loops, and he put it through Cubase software on his computer. So, yeah. And then Johnny and Nigel, they used digital effects and looping techniques to transform that into a piece that feels more like an ambient composition. The track shimmering tones and layered textures. Create a meditative atmosphere. It really is meditative.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good word to describe.
And you'll see one of the people's reviews of it. Any lyrics to this song?
No lyrics, just vibes. But I do want to do this at karaoke sometime.
So you just interpretive dance it?
I just stood in front of the mic and it just go.
Look shifty.
Yeah.
I was going to say that it doesn't have lyrics, but that because the song is kind of slow and dreamy and detached from the physical world, it makes you feel like you're dissolving, which is like a good segue from the last song.
Yeah.
When you're disappearing.
Yeah.
Okay. You don't know what thing I said.
Crossing into the other world. I don't know. If there was a music video, I feel like it would be a fantasy sci-fi icy cave. Maybe somewhere in Iceland. Sorry.
I can see that.
Yeah.
I feel like it'd be one of those, you know, those freezers that when you open them, the people have not thawed them in a long time, so it's just a wall of, like, frost.
Yeah.
And nothing fits because this is all ice.
Yeah.
That's what it makes me think of.
Like, was that artist, Wolf? He made the shopping mart.
Oh, yeah.
Where you can go in Vegas, go shopping, and then open a freezer and walk into an other world. It's like that. That would be fun.
Yeah. I'll explain it to you later.
Okay. What? Can you give me some trivia?
They've only performed this twice. Since once in 2012 at the Festival de Nîmes in Nîmes, France.
France.
Where Tom played the Prophet 5 synth and Ed played guitar and Johnny played the Glockenspiel. An electric piano from up far.
Yeah. And there was an extended version that was released on the soundtrack for Christopher Nolan's 2000 film,
Memento.
Have you seen it?
No, I haven't.
Wow, you seem really excited about it. Anyway.
It's just a good word.
Yeah, it's a good film. We should watch it.
Okay.
Well, there's not much for alternative versions or covers.
But if there's a day that turns to night, the Vitamin String Quartet covered it.
And I like it.
Yeah.
It's good.
And what about listeners?
Listeners on Reddit often describe it as a moment of calm amidst the emotional and sonic intensity of the album. And I saw a lot of people talk about how they use it as background music for meditation. I could see that.
Like you said, meditative. I could hear
it while I'm getting a massage.
Yeah. It's just playing in your head.
Yeah. It's good sleepy time music.
Yeah. You don't like to listen to music before you go to bed. Like while you're sleeping.
Yeah, I do.
But you don't, like, I used to go to sleep with music on.
Oh. I don't. Yeah, I guess, yeah. I used to.
Okay.
No, I don't.
Maybe that was your big glow up.
Because I used to have dreams where the music was in it, or the dreams were influenced by the music. And it just got to be too much. Boy, do you have a cocktail pairing for this one?
Yeah, it's a cocktail called Drifting, and it is...
green tea, egg cream, and vodka. Ew.
It sounds kind of good. Egg cream and vodka, that's like eggnog. And then with a little green tea. I don't know. I didn't do it. And then whatever that was would be paired with finger sandwiches.
Then you got optimistic. Track 6. What was your first impression?
I'm going to park to that drive-thru you got.
Oh my god.
That's a cool visual.
Yeah.
Okay. Optimistic.
Optimistic. Well, Rolling Stone described it as a rock lifeline amidst the album's ambient experimental detours. So... yeah, it's the most straightforward song on the album, although it's not a straightforward rock song. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And Tom York and Johnny Greenwood wrote Optimistic in 1998 while traveling through the desert.
What were they doing?
Probably just, like, I don't know, what does anyone do when they travel?
Through the desert?
Okay.
Yeah.
How is that different than saying I'm traveling through the rivers or the countryside?
Why was it just them?
They were taking it all in.
They invite other people.
Because they had beef to settle.
Okay. To tell you about production, the instrumentation on Optimistic features a driving, treble, drum beat, fuzzed out bass lines, and their typical jangly guitar riffs.
And Phil Selway's drumming is very Tommy.
It's so Tommy.
So Tommy.
Well, it has an organic feel that contrasts with the more synthetic elements of Kid A, and his Tom's falsetto adds to the introspective tone that balances the raw energy of the instruments.
Do you like his falsetto?
I do.
You do. Dirty dog.
it gives me comfort in that, you know, you can just go up how as high as you want and it won't diminish you. I don't know.
Find your light, queen.
Go as low or as high as you want to. Who cares?
It's all a moral construct.
It is. Okay. Well, what do you want?
Where are we?
I was saying, structurally, this song relies on hypnotic repetition. So, I'm, like, saying that the looping riffs and rhythms create a sense of building tension.
Hmm. I see that.
What do you have to say about that?
That there's no traditional chorus, which, you know, it's just another thing that speaks to their desire to experiment during this time.
Yeah.
And Nigel Godrick adds really subtle, like, reverbs and echoes so that it kind of gives it depth, but it doesn't overpower and overcomplicate everything else.
Yeah, and Johnny plays the on demand to this one.
And I really, you got some on demand fever.
On demand. Cut that out. And I really like the ending though. The way the drums sound and the funky bass, I could listen to it on a loop for days.
I could listen to you on a loop for days.
What are you talking about? And can I say I really like the album, the transitions on this album?
Good for you.
I just like that. It's a, you know how it's like continuous, or it's just creativity in the track listing. It just goes to show they don't just focus the creative energies in the music. It's also about the track listing. And I've always...
Which is like the big picture. Like they see it as
a whole.
I really
like it when artists do that.
Me too.
Thank you very much.
Okay, so lyrics. What are some of the themes?
It's just a bunch of phrases that seem to paint a dystopian picture where the rich and powerful win. And there's lots of social imbalances, and all the powerless can do is their best.
Hello?
What are you talking about?
What lyric do you like?
I'd really like to help you, man. Nervous, messed up marionette floating around on a prison ship.
Why do you like that?
It's just an interesting image, something you'd see in on American Dad or something, I don't know.
And then the line, you can try the best you can, comes from advice that Tom's girlfriend at the time gave him when he was stressed out about from the OK Computer tour. Yeah.
Yeah. That's nice. And at one point in the song, there's a reference to the George Orwell book, Animal Farm. Have you read it?
Yeah.
I haven't.
Okay. Don't be a literature hater.
Don't read books.
I like the line, the big fish eat the little ones, because it's like this Darwinian take on like the power dynamics of society and the music industry and life in general.
Yeah.
That's why I like that line.
Well, if there was a music video, I feel like it would be something like from the dinosaur scene from Fantasia, you know?
Oh.
You remember that scene?
Yeah.
All the... Yeah. You okay? I didn't mean to make you emotional.
Well, it's just because I had the picture of my video in my head, which is a bunch of vultures circling over this dead carcass in the desert. But then there's a cute baby crawling over the carcass.
I can see that. Okay. Well, to give you some...
You say tomato. I say tomato.
Some critics have praised Optimistic for its a balance of raw rock energy and thematic depth. It's often noted as one of the more accessible tracks on Kid A.
So, what does accessible mean when people say it? Because... Like, I hear that when people review songs all the time.
It's like easy listening.
Okay. Like, it's just not as... It's more mainstream.
I guess there's some challenging works where it's like you want to like it, but you can't get yourself to like it, and so you just feel like you have to take time with it to understand it a little better.
That happens to me with older films a lot.
Yeah. It's like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's nothing more to say.
Because if you have copies of copies, those are the more accessible ones.
That, yes.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, tell me about some trivia.
You told me you saw this at Madison Square Garden in 2018.
But I don't remember it.
Damn, blacked out again.
Yeah.
No, why do you think you didn't remember it?
I think maybe I was just overwhelmed with excitement. Yeah. And, you know.
I can see that.
It just all hits you like a flood. And it's too hard to take in all those 2 hours that, you know.
No, it's true. If a flood hits you, you don't get to enjoy, like, you know. You don't get to enjoy the water. It's like...
Yeah, it's just like... It's
fucking gonna, with you.
Yeah.
That's what makes you so cute.
Okay.
1,000 boys around my head. And the original lyric is...
Flies are buzzing around my head.
Why would he say 1,000 boys around my head?
I don't know.
That's like a 12-year-old girl. Like, she's lying in bed and she's like, just thousands of boys in her head.
Okay.
Because she's boy crazy. Any alternate versions or covers?
Yeah. Optimistic was covered by Hanson one time.
Your boys.
Love them.
And then there's a version of the song in the major key by Hello Petit.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Do you have a cocktail pairing for this song?
Yeah, it's called The Royal Hooker. And tell me what's in it.
Del Maffi, Limoncello Supreme, mixed with Four Loko. Okay.
Okay, so what is Del Maffi Limoncello Supreme?
It's the most expensive bottle of liquor in the world, which can cost up to $44 million per bottle. The bottle is adorned with diamonds, including 3 13-carat diamonds on the neck and an 18.5-carat diamond in the center. There are only 2 bottles of Del Maffi Limoncello Supreme in the world. This is a joke.
No, it's for real. And that's why you mix it with Four Loko, because it's like...
So you're mixing the most expensive with the cheap?
The Royal Hooker.
What does that have to do? Optimistic. I don't understand.
Because you're bringing, like, these two... Like, there's, you know, excitement and fear, and you're bringing them together, and that's optimism.
I guess.
Let's talk about track 7.
Yeah.
In Limbo. Have you ever had Four Loko?
Yes, I have.
You know, we should buy Four Loko and mix it with Limoncello, even though it's not the $44 million one, because we get, like, almost all the experience.
Just don't do it on an empty stomach. Okay. I think that's what my problem was.
Okay, in Limbo.
Yeah.
So you wrote a note for me in these notes that said, I don't need drugs to get high.
Yeah.
And it's true. Like, and sometimes in the middle of the day, I'm cruising around the apartment and I feel high as fuck for no reason.
Yeah. Okay.
What if I don't need drugs to get high. But okay. But right now, yeah, I took drugs and I'm high.
No, you didn't. Those are vitamins. Okay. Yeah. Oh.
Okay.
Anyway, and Limbo was originally called Lost at Sea, and Tom York said it was inspired by his partner at the time getting a PhD in Dante's Inferno. Yeah. And he said it was a nightmare to play live because of all the cross rhythms.
You're going to have to give me a minute. I have to get back to our notes.
What happened?
Quite well.
Oh, sorry. Okay. I didn't do anything. Okay.
What?
Can I tell you? That some feel that In Limbo refers to Tom suffering from writer's block. So tell me about the production on In Limbo.
Well, let me get to it.
I think this.
Wait. Oh, I passed it.
Yeah, the song starts with an electric piano playing two notes rhythmically, and it avoids its traditional verse-chorus structure, which adds to its chaotic and dreamlike quality.
Where were you at?
Above you here.
Oh, I got it. Okay, so then the band comes in layers of kind of like reverb heavy guitars and keyboards and fragmented rhythms. Yeah. And it's like a swirling ocean. Landscape. The soundscape of a swirling ocean.
Right. And yeah. You got Tom's vocals floating all over it with the repeated line, "You're living in a fantasy world." Okay.
That's my favorite line too, bro.
The song ends with all the instruments getting warbled and spin washed, fading into a bass hum. It's wild, man.
It is wild. That's what makes it so good.
Yeah, and tell me about the lyrics.
Yo. It feels like it's about being lost, confused, and longing for something good that you once had to come back. What?
What?
Lost, confused, and longing for something good. It's like Ebonics. Okay, well, what's the lyric you like?
You're living in a fantasy world.
Why?
I feel like I live in a fantasy. Or sometimes your expectations or hopes might be a little too naive. And
we didn't need to. The first one was good.
Okay.
No, I agree. I think that's like the primary. I don't know. Do you think living in a fantasy world is good or bad?
Depends on who you ask.
And how often you do which one.
Yeah.
Some people live like half the day in a fantasy world and half the day in the regular world. And then some people live their whole life with a mix of the two back and forth all the time.
Well, in the beginning of this song, Tom mentions Lundy Fastnet Irish Sea, which is a sea that is close to his home in southwest England. It could also be from a BBC radio show called The Shipping Forecast, which discusses the weather of the sea areas around the British Isles.
Lundy Fastnet Irish Sea, southwesterly 4 or 5, increasing 6 at times, then backing southerly, 6 or 7, later in West Fastnet.
And I like the line, nowhere to hide, because I feel like sometimes you feel like there's just nowhere to hide from feeling disoriented and confused.
Yeah.
Kind of like me right now.
Wait, what's wrong?
Baby.
Yeah?
Yeah, what about the music video? Would you imagine it being?
I'd say it's like abstract swirlies.
Oh. Like when they put people's head in the toilets?
Sure.
Yeah.
Tell me what some critics said about the song.
Wait, I think the album, the like art would either be like some feeling interrogated, yeah, you know, or like purgatory.
Yeah.
That's all.
Hmm. That's good.
What do the critics have to say?
Someone said before I was a critic in 2001, I saw a video of it at the Gorge in George, Washington. And while waiting in line, they played this song during a sound check. It sounded absolutely perfect, and it was at that moment that it hit me. I'm actually about to see Mother Effing Radiohead. We were there.
No, I'm saying we were there at the Gorge.
Yeah, we snuck into the Gorge.
And you got on stage.
I did get on stage.
And then we had to... I feel like dogs were chasing us, and we had to...
Yeah.
Jump over a fence. No, there was actually no one there.
No?
It was eerily empty.
It was nice.
Yeah.
We made it to the promised land.
We did. We could have really fallen down that hill.
Yeah.
Or gotten bitten by a snake.
Yeah.
Okay.
Give me some trivia.
Well, the last time they performed this was in 2008 in Tokyo.
Hey. And whenever they perform this live, they have Nigel Godrick play the tambourine.
Nice.
Yeah, you like that?
Yeah. I couldn't find any, like, covers or kind of alternate versions.
Well.
Tell us a joke, then.
I'm not going to tell you this one.
Why? What?
Diddy and the Pope die at the same time. There's an administrative mix-up in purgatory, and the Pope is sent to hell and Diddy to heaven. After 20 minutes, the mistake is discovered, and mistake is rectified. As they heading down the escalator, Diddy... the Pope...
Diddy's going down from... Because he was in the wrong place, and the Pope's going up because he was in the wrong place.
Yeah.
So what does the Pope say?
I'm really looking forward to meeting the Virgin Mary. And then Diddy says, you're about 5 minutes too late.
Can we put a laugh track here? Canned laughter. Okay. I think, like, the cocktail for this just would be a simple dark and stormy.
I like dark and stormies.
Just rum, ginger beer, and a little bit of lime.
Yeah.
Hey, did you ever wonder what happened to Jenny Garth's character from 90210?
No. I just can't say that I have.
Okay.
All right, good night.
Wait, what songs do we have next week?
Idiotech. And Morning Bell and Motion Picture Soundtrack.
Last three songs from the album. How do you feel about this block of four songs?
Well, I don't know.
When I listen to albums, sometimes I'll divide them into sections, like section 1, 2, 3, you know, like, because they each have a different...
It's just the halfway point. You're halfway there, and...
Okay.
That's where the adventure happens.
How do you feel about next week's songs?
happy. I'd say Motion Picture Soundtrack is probably my other favorite song on this album. I think it's really effective and emotional.
Okay, we'll get to that next week. I guess we gotta go.
Bye.
Bye. Kisses.
A basket of kisses.